Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Serena. Welcome to What You Read Next podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I guess I'm your basic 90s goth girl who grew up to be the weird mom with tattoos. I have like 12 or 13. I'm evolving into a bog witch. With COVID and everything, like I don't leave the house. I'm just bundled up in my fuzzy socks and my bun, and you know, I'm okay with it. Now that my kids are grown, I'm back in school to finish my forensic psych degree. When I turned 41, I went backpacking in Europe for a month, for a whole month, and I did it on $2,000, including the flight. So I ate a lot of jerky, but I saw a lot of art. I think that's the best thing I've ever done for myself.
Yes.
And if you can go, you should.
Yeah. So I've done a couple of solo trips. So did you stay in hostels? Did you have the whole backpacking experience of hostels and all the different places?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I went with a friend that I met in Harry Potter fandom. Oh. And we've been talking online for about 10 years. We've been friends that long. And she was like, come. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I dropped my kid off at uni, and a couple days later, I was on a plane to Munich, and we stayed in hostels and did the whole thing. Although a bunk bed in Florence did try to kill me. I'm not a small person. And they gave me the top bunk. That was all that was left. And I was trying to climb up and it fell over, but
oh my gosh, because
there were so many crammed together. I got stuck between two bunk beds and my friend had to come like peel me out.
Oh my God. That is my biggest nightmare. So I've stayed in the hostels. I've done a couple of solo trips. And so my biggest pet peeve is like, I don't want to get the top bunk bed. So I'm like, I would like spend one night and be like, okay, I'm here for a hurry. I can actually move to the bottom bunk bed. Are you moving out? I'm taking the bottom bunk bed.
You know? I'm like, when they offered me, they were like, yeah, we're going to put you in this, you know, it's the top bunk. And I looked at them and I was like, you can see me, right? I'm 5'10 and I can bench press you. I'm not going to fit on that top bunk, or whoever is on the bottom bunk is going to be really scared all night.
Yeah. So what cities did you visit? Which ones were your favorite?
Oh, well, so ever since, you know, I've always been really big into like paranormal stuff. So, I mean, Budapest was amazing. My first night there, like the moon was full and there was like a bat flew across and I was like, oh, I'm here. but we started in Munich, and from there we went to Vienna, and then Vienna to Budapest. I keep saying, I hate it when I do
it's that. It's so good. I say Budapest and I know it's Budapest and I love it, but I'm like, it's still in my head. It's like Budapest. It's like, that's how I learned.
And we went to Zagreb in Croatia, Venice, Florence, Pisa, Rome, Prague, Nuremberg, and then back to Munich and then home.
Awesome. You know, you should visit Lisbon. I had to tell everyone that they should just visit that city. It's like amazing.
It's definitely on my list. I want to do this again. And I keep having these like country groups that I want to visit. Like,
yeah.
You know, if I go to Spain, I want to do Portugal as well. Yep. When I go to Ireland, I want to do Scotland and Wales all together. And
yeah, I want to do this. That's like my trip. So I was unemployed in 2016 and 2017. Like I was like in between jobs. And so I just took like 2 weeks of vacation and I went there with like $1,000. Like it was like really like not a lot of money. And I had the best time. Like the food was like whatever, but the rest of the stuff was like great. Like I was just by myself. I stayed in hostels. I did tours. I walk around. I read. It was great. So I visited, and the first trip I ended up visiting Budapest and somewhere else in Eastern Europe. I don't remember. And then Berlin. And then the second trip, I went to Lisbon, Amsterdam, and Prague. I would say Prague is great, but I like Budapest better. It's like, it's the similar vibe. It's definitely cheap and it's great, but Budapest is cleaner. And I spent a week in Lisbon and it's like San Francisco. It's beautiful. There's like, it just, the food is delicious. It's not that expensive. The people are nice. It's just beautiful. So
that sounds like it was amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I think, you know, once we're out of COVID, trips can seem like a great idea.
Yes. Back on that plane.
Yeah. So, what else you have outside of Happily Ever Afters and Murder, which I'm sure is here.
Yeah. I started writing horror.
Really?
Those are my great loves, horror and romance. And, you know, I've dipped my toe into the thriller pool. Mm-hmm. I have about 4 pen names. I write as Serena DeWild, which is, you know, my paranormal romance name, and Sarah Wild as new adult. Sarah Lunsford is where my thrillers are at. And I have a memoir about my time as a corrections officer.
Mm.
And then I'm also launching a new name called Chloe Clover. And that is going to be all lesbian holiday romances, like Hallmark, but with more inclusion and gay.
I love this. Oh my gosh. So how do you balance it all? Like, how do you balance writing to different genres?
I don't really. I mean, I just, I'll have a thing and I'll just write it and write it and write it until my fingers just fall off and my brain is like, I cannot think about this anymore. And then it's like, okay, we're going to go over here and we're going to write about some murder. Like, this woman is married to a serial killer and she doesn't know it. And she finds out. And then what happens, you know? And I just sort of hop around. But I guess some people have asked me like how romance and horror relate. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you wouldn't think that they do, but for me they do, because I think that they're both about overcoming darkness and persevering even when things seem their most bleak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are certain things, there are certain tropes or certain styles that are, that do follow along with each genre. So it does make sense that they do have some sort of similarity at the same time. You know, they're completely different things you wouldn't think of. So.
Yeah, I started reading romance really young. My mom gave me my first one and I was 10. And it was a Western, and I believe it was Catherine Hart was the author. And she paperclipped the sex scenes so I could skip them, which I totally did until I was 12. She was like, you know what? You're reading too fast for me to keep up with you. I figure that you're intelligent. And if you have any questions, you can ask me. Read them if you want to, skip them if you want to, whatever. And I was like, okay. And then my grandmother gave me this book that like changed my life. She gave me Sky O'Malley by Patrice Small. I don't know if you've read that.
Yeah, I've died.
Yeah. I was like 12 when I read that. So I was like, what goes where? Excuse me. Okay.
Oh my gosh. It's like an education. You're like, what is going on?
I know. And my biggest question was like, how do people look each other in the face after they do that? Like, how do you just look at somebody after you've, you know, yeah. How does that work?
That's amazing. So what inspired you to become a writer?
Well, this goes back to the horror. The Exorcist. It was my 8th birthday party and I had just started really getting into horror movies and my mom was like, I've got something to scare you. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, let's do it. But instead of scaring me, it inspired me, because I mean, it runs the whole gamut of human emotions. Like, you feel everything. You feel a mother's love for her daughter. You feel familial love, you feel self-love, you feel hope, you feel faith, you feel redemption. You go through all of these things. And I was like, I want to do that to people. Like, let me have that. Yes. And I wrote my first story that night about a girl who was possessed by a green mist and she killed all of her friends. And it was a green mist. So I wrote it in green colored pencil because, you know, theme.
Yeah. love this story so much because I really think of like you'll be inspired while watching a horror movie. But yes, you can be inspired to be a writer thanks to The Exorcist. So what was your journey to get your first book published?
Well, the first book that I had published was only the second book that I ever finished. The first one is buried deep, deep in a dark pit where no one can ever see it because it's, oh my God, it's awful. But I entered this contest on text novel, and it was sort of, I mean, it was back in 2009, so it was some time ago. and the main prize was publication with Dorchester. And basically you wrote like chapter by chapter and you put it up and you got people to vote for you and vote for your book until they narrowed it down out of like 500 and some entries to 20 and then down to 15 and then to 10 and then to 5 and then the winner. When I got the call from the editor at the time, who was Chris Kiesler, I actually tripped and fell down the stairs when he said who he was.
Oh my gosh.
And then I managed to sit down in my chair and then he's like, okay, are you all right? And I was like, yeah. And he said, so in case you didn't know, you've won. And then I fell out of my chair.
Oh my gosh.
It was so embarrassing. He was like, are you okay? Like, really? I was like, no, I'm really not okay. But it did not make it to publication because Dorchester shut down. They had some issues. And luckily I got my rights back. And I queried an editor at Kensington who was one of the judges for a different title. And she remembered me because she loved the book. And I was like, so how much do you love it? Because I have a trilogy and it's available. And that book was How to Lose a Demon in 10 Days. It was my first book. And it was the start of my relationship with Kensington, which I just love them dearly.
I love Kensington too.
They're really great.
They're great publishers. So.
They took such good care of me. I hadn't had a release with them in some time, and I was at RT when my mother passed. And they were all still like, you know, what can we do for you? Can we help you? Do we need to come make calls for you? Just anything you need, just let us know. And it was so nice to have that kind of like family support. So they're more than a business.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's like, so it's like it's a family. I don't know. It feels like very, like very nurturing. Like I love working with Jane and Larissa and Vita and all those different people. It's like, basically, you know, you can say something as a book reviewer, you come in, you're like, okay, you know, hey, I'm interested in this title. And you're more than willing to give you like comparison, like, you know, you'd like this thing. Let me try this one. Let me try that one. And it just feels like there's like personal touch that, you know, sometimes you don't see in other publishers. Not right. That I want to dismiss other publishers.
Just no, not at all. But there definitely is an atmosphere at Kensington that is different. And I absolutely love it there.
Yeah, it's a personal touch. So awesome. So let's start with our writing process. What is your writing process like? Do you follow an outline? Do you see where the story leads? Are you a plotter or are you a pantser?
Well, I used to be a pantser. But I would always get stuck at about between, I don't know, 30 to 40,000 words. Like, you know, that's almost the halfway point. And I got sick of it because I would get so frustrated and it was like banging my head on a brick wall to write these books. I mean, I would fly the first couple chapters and it would just be like, bam. And then pulling like my teeth with piano wire for that middle section. And then, you know, the rest was okay. But I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of this. And plotting was always hard for me. I mean, I never wrote outlines when I was in school either. They'd be like, write an outline. And I would just write the paper and then go back and fill out the outline. And so that's what writing books was like for me until I decided I was going to try something different. And luckily, I realized that my brain was already doing the plotting mostly. Like, I was hitting all of those tent post plot moments that you're supposed to be hitting. Like, okay, this is the dark night of the soul. This is this goes here. But I wasn't writing it down and I didn't have it to access. And so now I have started doing a loose plot and it has completely changed my process. It's better. And I think it's made me a better storyteller too.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine it probably makes it easier just to know, like, you're not staring at a blank page and be like, what am I going to write today? Like, you have an idea, even though the characters may tell you otherwise and you may change your mind, at least it gives you a guidance of where you want to go next.
Yeah, it's just like a little, it's just like having a map. Like, okay, this is where I need to go, but I can stop off here if I want to, or I can go over here.
And do you write linear? Like, do you write from beginning to end, or do you write like in different scenes, like they may come up and place them here, place them there?
Oh, I have to write linear. I tried a collaboration project with a friend. We were working on a screenplay, and he decided he was going to take, you know, these scenes and I was going to do these other scenes, but my brain just would not kick into gear. Like I could not write out of scene order. So I had to just wait for him to finish his scenes and then go back in and fill those in.
I love this. And so let's talk about your characters. How do you develop them? Do they come to you? Do you brainstorm ideas? Like, what's the whole process of getting the characters down?
The characters usually come to me fully formed, like Athena from Zeus's head. They just emerge whole and they're like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Do you want to come write this down or what? And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I will. At least with the romance titles, it's like that. Writing in other genres, the situation usually comes to me first. Like, I'll be somewhere and I'll see something and I'll be like, what if, you know, what if this happened here? Like, what is this person's life like who lives in this house? Or, you know, I mean, I'm always writing. No matter what I'm doing, part of my brain is always writing.
So that's fascinating. So do you, like, the characters, do they, like, basically, you know, they're going to come together and then the rest of the, once you plot it out, you realize, like, what's the character arc and whatnot?
I think my character arcs are basically the same in every book, in every romance anyway. It's about really loving yourself wholly and accepting yourself before you love someone else. Like,
yeah,
you have to become self-aware and basically fix your shit before you can bring something to the table for someone else. At least that's what my characters do. Because I guess that's a trait that I really admire, and I like to see people do that. And I think it makes for a better love story, because I don't like the magic dick or the magic vagina that makes people, oh, like, suddenly I'm this better person. No, you have to put in the work. You know, I want to see someone realize they want to be better and do it for themselves and then come back to that relationship with all of this on the table to offer.
I love this. I love the fact you call it the magic dick. You know?
I mean, you know.
Yes, I know. It's definitely a use. And I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't feel real. Like, that feels like a fantasy. Like, a lot of romance that I read felt real, but that feels like fantasy because it's not real. Like, you kind of have to love yourself and accept yourself before you can actually embrace somebody else into your life. So.
Yeah. Cause we can't expect other people to fix us. like, in no way do I want to say, I think people aren't worthy of love if they have trauma or problems or whatever, but I mean, never, I would never want to say that, but we can't expect other people to, you know, like that whole, I'm going to hug you hard enough to put your pieces back together. No, you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, that you have to do that yourself, and no one can do it for you. They can hold your hand while you do it. They can love you while you do it, but you are still 100% responsible and in charge of doing that for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Awesome. So it's like our fairy godmother, Ink. What was the source of inspiration?
Well, I have a friend who has some rental property in a place called Romance, Arkansas.
Oh my gosh.
And that's actually a place, and people go there just to get, like, the postmark on their Valentine's or wedding invitations. And I was sort of like, what? A town like this, I mean, there's got to be magic, you know? And then Petty and her sisters just came to me, and I was like, okay, here's this town, and here are these people who live here. And it just sort of bloomed from there.
So how do you infuse magic into romance? I'm curious to, like, because there's, like, some world building in some way to just small town, but there's, like, magic, too, which is, like, a whole layer into the regular romance novel. Yeah.
I really like paranormal elements in these stories because it's really easy to use them as a metaphor for what's going on in our lives. Like, in the darker romance titles, you know, you've got these, mostly these guys who are, you know, they're demons and they're evil and they've done all these awful things. And it's a bigger, I guess it's like seeing our own smaller faults painted over with these bigger things. And if these people can come together, if they can forgive themselves, if they can fix themselves, I think it makes it easier for us to look at our own faults and our own pain and our own trauma and say, I still deserve to be loved. I still can love.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love this. So what is your favorite trope to write?
That's a tie. I really love writing best friends to lovers and enemies to lovers. I absolutely love how someone or something that you're used to seeing in a certain way, something that's kind of like old hat, you know, just someone you're used to having there, something you take for granted, and suddenly it becomes something else. It's this awakening, and, you know, you're not supposed to like it and you're not supposed to want it. So I sort of like the touch of the forbidden there, like, oh, I'm not supposed to like when his hand touches my hand, but I do. And I'm so aware of, like, the heat from his body and just, like, everything he's doing, you know, when you're not even looking at a person, but you know exactly what they're doing because you're just so aware of them.
Yeah.
I think that's so juicy. And I just love writing about it.
I love this. And so Fear Godmother is part of a series, correct?
Right now it is a 3-book series. I guess we'll see if I get to write any more in the series, if readers like it.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited. I love reading series because you get lost in the world and you get to see your friends, you know, what happens to them after, you know, the next book in some sort of way. So.
Oh yeah. The second book is called Men Are Frogs and it's about a wedding planner who things kind of go poorly for because she has sort of a wedding planner situation, you know, like the movie, and she falls in love with the guy, but it turns out he's actually the one getting married. And so the bride takes off her dress and lights it on fire in the church. And so her career is sort of ruined, and the godmothers see an opportunity here and take her to Ever After. And there's a certain prince who may have tried to kiss Petunia and Blue Bonnet, and she got a little upset and turned him into a frog. So he's been a frog for 300 years.
Oh.
Because that's how Petty got her nickname.
I love this so much. So did you research, you know, fairy godmothers, like, you know, fairy tales? Like, did you, like, look at, you know, some of the Grimm fairy tales or other fairy tales to just get yourself into this mood of fairy godmothers?
I really love fairy tales. I love every incarnation of fairy tales. So I really didn't need to read too much because I've already just absorbed all of that into my brain. I love the feminist retellings like Angela Carter and the darker fairy tales. So this was really a different take for me to go light and fluffy. You would think that light and fluffy would be the common, but because, you know, I'm into horror so much and I like a lot of darker stories, going so, I don't want to say light, because I mean, there's lots of personal growth, I think, in these books for these characters to come together. But, you know, it is a bit more whimsical, I guess you could say.
I love this. So what are some of your upcoming projects?
Well, I have quite a bit on my plate. Hopefully I get to write 3 or 4 more books in the Fairy Godmother series, fingers crossed. But I have 2 series of Sarah Wilde that I'm finishing up. One is called Labels, and it's about, you know, accepting yourself and the labels that people put on us and deciding how you want those labels and if you do. Those titles are Fat and Slut. And so I'm going to finish that one up with some of the other characters. And then Fast Times at Ridgemont Hall is also new adult. And Serana has a mobster vampire series coming out that's really gritty. But it's sort of the series I wanted to write since I read my first vampire romance in middle school. So it's super gritty and super just insane. Like, okay, what are we going to do? Okay, we're going to have cage fighting vampires and mobsters and, you know, hitmen. And it's all going to be completely insane, but it's a good time. And as Sarah Lunsford, I'm still working on my sequel to my memoir, Sweet Hell on Fire, which is about a year in my life when I was a corrections officer. And it was also the worst year of my life, but I came out on the other side better. And I wanted to check in, you know, I mean, at first I thought, what kind of asshole writes more than one memoir? I mean, seriously, who cares? But so much has happened to me since this book came out and my life has changed so much. And I'm a completely different human than I was when I wrote the first one. So I thought I'd just go ahead and, you know, do a check-in.
Yeah, I feel like honestly we go through phases, like thinking back and, you know, writing, you know, read memoirs and stuff like that, and I think it's just like you go through different growth and different stages of your life. So what was your worst time, you know, once upon a time, you go through a process of growth and recovery, and then you get out of it, and then you go through a new process of like worst time and then get back to recovery. Like, so it makes sense to, you have more to your story than just one bath.
Right. And I mean, and it really was just awful. And one of the workshops that I teach is about writing about characters with PTSD and writing women in law enforcement, and giving that workshop so many times and talking to so many people and getting all that, those different levels of feedback, and just, I don't know, it was just so much growth. So much growth came from that. And I've learned so much since then. I mean, there are some things in that book that I am not proud of now. I mean, when I wrote it, I didn't understand what the problem was. I was like, yeah, whatever. But now, you know, I'm more aware of things and my privilege. And I look at that and I'm like, wow, I'm so not that person anymore. And I'm so glad that I'm not. So I guess I want to come back to it from that angle too, to be able to say, you know, okay, like I understand that some of these things were bad and I know what my part was in that and I own it.
I love this. So that's really fascinating. So now let's go to a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for you to share with the audience what they should read next. What is your favorite genre?
Well, you know, I love, like, I read everything, basically. I mean, if you drop anything in front of me, I'm like, oh, I'll read it. Like, it's the back of a cereal box, I'll read it. But, you know, to come back to romance and horror, those are my great loves, especially Together, for which I can blame Howling 6. I think it was 6. I don't know if you watch horror movies at all, but it was like a werewolf and the preacher's daughter and, you know, star-crossed, evil, whatever. It was great.
I love this. And what has been a book that you read this past year that you love?
I absolutely, positively am in mad, mad love with Olivia Dade's Spoiler Alert. I don't know if you've read it. It's contemporary. It's totally cute. And it's sort of a Game of Thrones fan fiction send-up, kind of.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love Spoiler Alert. I got to chat with Olivia a few months ago and it was just fascinating, you know, just hearing her process, because that book is like so complex, because she wrote a book, another book, fan fiction, you know, like cosplay, like B-list movies. Like there's like, so it's like, it's a whole world, like you're immersed in this world.
And it's so meta too. I mean, at least it is for me, because when I started practicing my craft, I was a fanfic author, and you know, it just rang so true and rang so many bells for me, and I just, oh my god, I loved it so much. And I'm so jealous you've got to talk to her, because I just fangirled on myself a little bit. It's on my chin, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. She's amazing. So yeah, I was like, she lives in Sweden, which was like, the time difference was like weird, but it was like, it was just fantastic. We spent an hour talking. So
I'm so jealous.
So awesome. So tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me at serranadewild.com or on Instagram at Amazon Goddess of Doom. or on TikTok at Amazon Goddess of Doom. I'm learning the TikTok and figuring out book talk.
Ooh, I love this. Thank you, Serena, for being in the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a really good time.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatreadnextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTORead10 to save. Visit whatreadnextblog.com/queenbeereads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.